There's an untold story behind the Iran protests. We'll cover that and a whole lot more today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to today's broadcast. Michael Brown here, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I live every day with hope, but often start a new year feeling especially encouraged with what God is going to do in the year. I know the world is messed up. It's been messed up since the fall. I know the church has issues. The church has always had issues, but God has no issues. Jesus is Lord. The word remains true. The Spirit is at work. That's all I need to know to be encouraged. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have questions, comments, phone lines are open. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. And we've got a lot to cover. I want to talk to you about what's happening in Iran. I want to talk to you about what God's doing in America and among young people as well. Second half hour, we'll bring on our dear friend James Robison, who's got a word on his heart to share with everyone as we come into the new year. So a lot of good stuff going on. I'm in the midst of an intensive writing schedule that I'm really excited about. I'm always in the midst of an intensive writing schedule, but sometimes it picks up, and it has in the last week or 10 days. So I'm really blessed by that. Maybe get to share a little bit about what's going on in that regard as well. But let's focus on Iran. What's actually going on in Iran? There are mass protests, growing protests, people protesting at the potential cost of their lives, and they're doing it anyway. They've had it with radical Islam in their country. They've had it with what they believe is a corrupt regime. They've had it with what they believe is a regime putting money in the wrong place and even bankrupting and hurting the country. And people are rising up. And it's a very delicate situation right now. Sadly, a lot of the left-wing media has either been reluctant to cover this or has covered it in blatantly wrong ways. I mean, blatantly wrong ways, misleading ways. And some of it is that, hey, Barack Obama, President Obama, worked hard to come into agreement with Iran, a disastrous agreement, a wrong agreement, and ends that they get, you know, what, billion-plus dollars from us in money that was held up that they're now going to use for terrorism. They even said, hey, we're going to use it as we've used it. There was no question about that in many minds is what Iran was going to use some of the money for, and yet we gave it back into their hands and now enable them to become a nuclear power. A disastrous arrangement. That's why so many candidates running on the Republican side were dead set against it. But some of the liberal media, hey, this is the legacy of President Obama, and we don't want to mess with things. And whereas the Iranians, when they were protesting a few years back, were saying to President Obama, where are you? President Trump and Senator Cruz and many other American leaders are standing up saying, we're standing with you in Iran. We are watching you. But I believe there's something going on behind the scenes as well. Look, for years, I was hearing from missiologists, from Christian leaders working in world missions, from those who were tracking statistics and things like that. For years, I was hearing about what God was doing in China. There is a story from the Telegraph, UK Telegraph, just a few years old. And the story says this, the headline says this, China on course to become world's most Christian nation within 15 years. The number of Christians in communist China is growing so steadily that by 2030, it could have more churchgoers than America. This is a story reported by the Secular News a few years ago. But for many, many years, I was hearing this from Christian leaders, from those working with the underground church in China, from those in other Christian ministry settings around the world. I was hearing this report. I was hearing how many millions of Chinese were coming to faith. So it was happening under the surface, and then it begins to rise and rise and rise. And when it reaches a critical mass, it becomes more and more public, and then it actually begins to affect the country in different ways. And that is happening within China. Well, for years, I've been hearing that the number two country in the world where people are coming to faith in Jesus, being born again, turning to the Lord, the number two country in the world after China numerically has been Iran. I've heard that for years. I've heard it from Iranian Christians. I'm talking about people who live in Iran. I've heard it from Iranian Christians who have come out of Iran. I've heard it from missiologists. I've heard it from Christian workers in different parts of the world who are now working with Iranian Christians, refugees. I'm talking about former Muslims who have come to faith, who have fled the country. They're in refugee camps in different parts of the world. Some of my friends have been working with them, missiologists, all telling the same story. And what I've heard there as well is at a certain point, it's going to reach critical mass. Now, here's a book that came out, 9 years ago or so? And look at the title of this book, The Coming Fall of Islam in Iran by Reza Safa, himself a former Shiite Muslim, now an evangelical pastor. The Coming Fall of Islam in Iran, Thousands of Muslims Find Christ in the Midst of Persecution. This book came out, around 10 years ago, 10 years ago. That's how long this has been spoken, that there is a rise of Christians in Iran, people truly being converted, coming to faith in Jesus. And as a result of that, it is going to shake and challenge the Islamic leadership. At a certain point, enough people will be standing up. They may not just be standing up as Christians, but they'll be standing up against the corrupt regime, against the radical Islamic regime. And a friend of mine, who's a missions leader, who just came back from Iran a few months ago, and I talked with him right after he got back, he said the people he talked to universally love America in Iran. And he said they're well-educated people. They despise the radical Islamic leadership, but it's an oppressive regime. There's nothing they can really do about it right now. But he said it's very different than what you think. I said, so when you see the big rally and a million people on Jerusalem Day chanting death to Israel, death to America, and burning flags and things like that, that's not representative of the Holy Ghost. No, definitely not. And again, I keep hearing similar reports. Now, how much does that play into these protests? I don't know. But the fact that you have this underground tide rising of believers, of people coming to faith, and now you have this national shaking, and it's been going for some years, I think there could well be a correlation. Here, look at this Catholic website. Okay, it's a Catholic website, so it's not giving your standard figures from evangelical Christians and other things like this. It reports Muslims are converting to Christianity in record numbers. And then if we scroll down in the article, there's a Catholic leader who is quoted as this: some of the noteworthy countries he mentioned include Iran, reported to have 3 million Christians, and Indonesia, with reports of 2 million a year converting. And then it shows, here is a video of a Muslim Indonesian family that converted, explaining that they now pray to Allah as Father, Son, Jesus, called Isa, and Holy Spirit. But notice, Iran, they claim, could have 3 million Christians. Official reports that I had seen from Operation World, which is a widely respected prayer guide, that suggested that there were, maybe several hundred thousand Christians, under 400,000 Christians, compared to like 75 plus million Muslims. Now, some saying 3 million, other reports putting it at a million. Look at this report from Mohabbat News. This is Iranian Christian news agency. Look at this report. It says that Christianity has been growing at an exponential rate in the last couple of decades in Iran, causing the Islamic government a great deal of concern. In a most recent expression of their distress, one of the high-profile Islamic seminary officials, Ayatollah Alavi Barajerdi, stated, quote, accurate reports indicate that the youth are becoming Christians in Qom, which is a holy city in Iran, and attending house churches. However, this is not a new development. Earlier reports had also shown a surprising rise in the number of Iranians turning away from Islam and converting to Christianity. Friends, something is happening in that country, and it could well tie in with the protest movement. Because if secular Iranians or nominal Muslim Iranians are protesting, this is a great time for those who have converted and have come to the faith to stand up and protest as well. All the more does it remind us to pray for Iran. The price for going against the grain there is very high. There are Christians in prison. There are Christians laying down their lives. Let us stand with the people of Iran at this critical time in history. All right. Thought it was important that you knew that. I have a new article that addresses that as well, what no one is talking about. No one is telling you about Iran. And it reminds you also that even in the craziest times, even in times of chaos, even in times when it seems like darkness is ruling and reigning, God's light is shining. Yeah, my latest article, what no one is telling you about Iran. Iranian Muslims are converting to Christianity at an unprecedented pace. And really no one that I've read thus far has been connecting this potentially with what's happening in the protests. So thought it's important for you to know that and understand that. And after all, here on the Line of Fire, one of our goals is to give you a spiritual perspective, a kingdom perspective. Here, look. There are some people who seem to have the impression that God has almost abandoned the earth. You know, what happens, happens. I'm talking about believers, followers of Jesus, that the way they live, the way they think, it's almost as if God has abandoned the earth. It's almost as if everything that's happening is just people making choices and the devil at work. And you think, well, what's God doing? What's God doing? Is he just sitting back, doing nothing, hoping, twiddling his thumbs? Is he praying to himself? I mean, what's he doing? That's almost the way some followers of Jesus live, just as if he's just kind of watching and hoping we get it right. And then there are others who believe that everything that happens in the world, every last detail, you know, if you hit a pebble in the road today, that it was all ordained by God and all according to God's plan. Doesn't mean he's pleased with everything, but that God is so active in the world that every last detail of what happens is according to his plan. I don't see it that way myself scripturally, but I absolutely see that in the midst of human choices, which we all agree humans are making choices, in the midst of satanic activity, and we all agree the devil's active, that God is working out his plan, that he's not sitting idly by, that he is working out his plan in the midst of the earth. That should give you confidence and hope. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, remember, we are on our new clock. That means we start 3 minutes into the hour, the top of the hour, bottom of the hour. So you'll hear local news if you're listening on radio or national news or some local ads or things like that. And then we go two long segments each half hour. So more radio time, less breaks. Hope you're enjoying that. I've got to get used to the new format, but loving it already myself. All right, let's try a little experiment. If you are watching on YouTube or listening to the live audio feed on Facebook, send me a shout out here. I will wave to everyone that is actually watching this. You can watch it later on our YouTube channel. I'm gonna wave, but send me a wave back. I mean, you got all kinds of icons and things like that, a peace sign or thumbs up or something. let's see how you're able to communicate. Oh, okay, got it. We are now also live on video on Facebook, so here we are. So shoot me a thumbs up or something there. We'll just have a little graphic interaction along the way. But can I remind you, subscribe to our, there we go, Blake, way to go, preach it. Come on. Oh, I love it. Shalom in Hebrew. Very nice. Very, Brazil, Indiana. There's such a place as Brazil. Charlotte. Oh, this is cool. You got to see what I'm seeing. Remember to subscribe to our, nice smile there. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Be sure to subscribe there. This way, the moment we are airing anything, you'll know about it. As soon as videos are up, you'll know. And share with your friends. We've got over 1,100 videos. I believe they're all important, from debates with rabbis to cutting-edge commentary on the news to Bible study. So share this with your friends. Okay. Is it true that if we really want to see our congregations grow, if we really want to make an impact, if we really want to draw on the younger generation, that we have to get with the times, and we have to accept the fact that times are changing, that antiquated interpretations of the Bible are out, that we live in a progressive society and therefore need to be, quote, progressive in our churches and get away from some of this biblical literalism and some of these old moral stands and get with it and embrace things like same-sex, quote, marriage and embrace things like transgender identity and embrace new readings of the Scripture. Is that true if we want God's blessing? No, actually, once again, it's been demonstrated that the reverse is true, that if you go the way of the world, you lose your impact with God, that if you follow the spirit of the age, you no longer have the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that you want to be progressive in the eyes of men, you then get out of sync in the eyes of God. And I'm not talking about being old-fashioned and traditional. I'm saying God's word, God's ways are ways of life. And if we'll follow God's word and follow God's ways, we will see life and blessing and the smile of heaven. There is a study that recently came out. It's a scientific academic study. And I want to just take a look at this. It is in sociological science. It is called The Persistent and Exceptional Intensity of American Religion, a Response to Recent Research. And then the abstract, the blurb of this article, which is by Landon Schnabel and Sean Bach. It says, recent research argues that the United States is secularizing, that this religion this religious change is consistent with the secularization thesis that American religion is not exceptional. In other words, America is getting more secular. But we show that rather than religion fading into irrelevance, as the secularization thesis would suggest, intense religion, strong affiliation, very frequent practice, literalism, and evangelicalism is persistent. And, in fact, only moderate religion is on the decline in the United States. We also show that in comparable countries, intense religion is on the decline or already at very low levels. Therefore, the intensity of American religion is actually becoming more exceptional over time. We conclude that intense religion in the United States is persistent and exceptional in ways that do not fit the secularization thesis. So what are they saying? That in churches where people are really committed, where they're really serious about following the Lord, where they're in multiple services during the week or regular attending or regular prayer, regular time in the Word, and believing what the Bible says, that those churches are holding their own or growing, and the ones that are now going the way of the world and, quote, progressive, those are the ones that are on the decline. This has been demonstrated for decades that this is the pattern. Why? Because if you're coming to faith in God, you're going to believe God is going to change, or it's going to be different. If you want the world, just go the way of the world. You don't need dead religion to help you do that. Again, this has been demonstrated for decades. It's been the same old lie for decades, that you got to be on the right side of history. You got to change your views. I mean, I've seen this documented from the 70s in America. And even before that, documented the same thing. Well, we've got to be progressive and with the times. You get with the times, you get out of timing with God. Are you following me? So recent news, and this has gotten gay and lesbian community and others, their allies, very upset. And I don't gloat in people being upset. But check this out. This is from a gay website, Pink News, in the UK. None of America's 100 largest churches affirm LGBT people. None of America's 100 largest churches affirm LGBT people. Isn't that fascinating? You would think that the majority would be gay-affirming. The majority would be celebrating same-sex, quote, marriage, because that's the progressive way and that's where society's going. And yet the 100 largest, and it could be 200, 300, 500,000, the vast majority of those. In fact, I'm sure off the top of my head, you take the 1,000 largest churches in America, and you'll have almost none of them, the tiniest percentage, that are gay-affirming. Why? Because God's blessing is not on that. We are reaching out to all people. We are caring for all people. We are showing mercy to all people. But no, we don't affirm what God does not affirm. Jesus did not practice affirmational inclusion, but transformational inclusion. He didn't affirm people where they are. He reached out to them where they are, and he transformed them rather than affirmed them. He didn't affirm the prostitutes. Hey, nice outfit, gal. You're going to make a lot of money. No, he reached out to them. He had meals with them. He did what was scandalous in the eyes of the world, and he transformed them, and they became changed followers of Jesus. And, you know, you might say, yeah, but only 7 of those churches are pastored by a non-white. Yeah, there's a little disparity there, but I'm sure if you go through the churches as a whole, you'll find a lot of ethnic diversity, for sure. And only one is pastored by a woman. Well, it's not a surprise, because God's primary role for a woman is not senior leadership in a church setting or something like that. So that's not a surprise either. Of course, it's been looked at bigoted and biased. How about looking at it that if you adhere to God's ways and honor them, you'll be blessed? Now, some of the growth in some of these churches is not from God. It's just people and entertainment in a certain setting. But I'm sure if you look at the bulk of it, you'll find there's something good that is happening. And here I was just in Kansas City with a conference with, oh, close to 20,000 young people. I did day sessions, one day on reaching out to the LGBT community with compassion, the next day on why we have to resist gay activism with courage. And both day, I mean, I had a big venue that seats a few thousand people. Both days, I was one of multiple tracks going on at the same time. Both days, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people had to be turned away. Why? Because they're interested and they have a heart and they care and they were moved and they want to make a difference. Friend, you want to see blessing? Get with God. And then, you know, just the bankruptcy of the progressive position. I got into a Twitter exchange. I had posted this on Twitter. How many times have you heard that churches which do not affirm homosexuality are on the wrong side of history, and that to keep your members, you need to embrace LGBT activism? Why then are none of the largest 100 churches in America LGBT affirming? What do you know? So a woman named Sarah Wilcox, who according to her bio is a pastor of a progressive church, she responded, because people like to worry about the speck of their neighbor's eye to avoid their own work. How many of those churches are calling out the evils of racism or the injustice of economic inequity? What's that you say? Being comfortable is easier than following Jesus. That's your answer. Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, often, taking up the cross, it's not popular in the eyes of the world. You're going to be hated, rejected, despised. So maybe she's saying, well, that's why we're smaller, the progressive are smaller, because we're doing it God's way. Although, for years, they've been telling us the opposite, right? So I responded, more important in God's sight is the shedding of innocent blood. Please tell me what your church is doing to stop the evil of abortion. She responded, teaching comprehensive sexual education, supporting family planning and policies that empower women and families to have and support children, the things that actually lower abortions. You're picking the wrong argument. The stats are clear. Next. So I responded, so you agree that abortion is a sin against the unborn and you oppose Planned Parenthood? The statistics are clear indeed. And then I added, another tweet is, for the large churches I work with, they do work against economic injustice. They help the poor in many ways, also by empowering them, and they work for racial equality. And her response? No response. Nothing. Now, maybe something happened. She got pulled away from Twitter for an hour, a day, 2 days. I don't know. All I know is she engaged me. I responded. I challenged. And that was the end of that. And she may have a lot to say, and she may have a lot of good things to say and a lot of other points. I'm not demeaning her. I'm simply saying the way she's espousing is not the way of God's blessing. the way she's espousing is the way of the world and the wisdom of the world, and it will not have the blessing of God. All right, friends, new year, new you. My new book with Nancy is a year old now. It's not our new book. It's two back already, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. But we've got a great Facebook group called We're Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Folks doing it together, join us on Facebook. We're Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome again to 2018. This is Michael Brown. My great joy to be with you. Remember, we start every show now 3 minutes into the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, and then have two long segments with less breaks, so more radio time, less breaks for each of you. In a moment, I want to bring on, to start the new year, my dear friend James Robison. But before I do, you know, new year, new you, you often hear that concept. The book that Nancy and I wrote, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, it came out 1 year ago tomorrow, so January 3rd is 1 year. We keep hearing great reports from people who've read it and their lives have been impacted. I noticed a comment on YouTube from DG, who said that I'm far too obsessive with this and that it's proven that restrictive diets lead to a cycle of further weight gain, you know, weight gain, weight loss. Oh, I don't believe in a restrictive diet. I believe in a healthy diet. I don't believe in dieting. I don't believe in dieting. I believe in changing your lifestyle, changing your relationship to food, and doing things in a way that is with self-control so that your stomach is not your God. And it's life-transforming. 3.5 years of massive life transformation in my life, and not only so, hundreds of thousands, millions of others who have made radical lifestyle changes and live differently, they can attest that it is for life. Yeah. So the last thing I want to do is some kind of weight loss program. No. Change your relationship to food. Friends, you don't want to mock what you may not know about. And I'll put my health and lifestyle up against anybody's by God's grace and help. All right, we are in a brand new year, 866-34-TRUTH, same number to call. We're in a brand new year. On the one hand, the passage of time, I mean, it's just one day is the same as the next day. On the other hand, with each new year, there's a sense of asking God, what are you saying? What are you doing? What are you asking of your people? How should we be living? And there's no person I'd rather talk to more about this than my dear friend and co-worker, James Robison. James, Happy New Year to you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, same to you, Michael, and all of your listeners. And we just pray this will be a year that not only God blesses us, but that we bless him by allowing him to be revealed through our lives so clearly that people are drawn to him. That's the kind of witness we need. Just simply see the glory and the grace of God manifest through our lives.
And although you're always steady in the Lord because of your faith in him and your walk with him, you know, circumstances can change around us. We come out of 2017, we come into 2018. What's your state of mind based on what happened in 2017?
Well, whether people realize it or not, God is answering the prayers of serious Christians who want his will to be done and realize that it takes his kingdom power and presence revealed through us as believers in order for his will to be accomplished and for lives to be transformed by truth delivered in love. That's gospel power. He wants to do that, and the stage is set right now because even what's happening in Iran is an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
And we can see God deal with issues that we could be forced to deal with, rightly so, militarily with strength, the same way you would protect your family from a predator, from a dangerous person. You would do that. You build walls around your own home and you lock doors to protect your family. But if we hear God and follow his leadership, and we pray for him to intervene, we can see him actually abort and even cause disruption and division and even bring death and destruction on the enemies of freedom and truth and life, just the way it, with Jehoshaphat. We can stand still and behold the salvation of God delivering us from the evil intent around us. And right now, if we really keep praying, I'm telling you, things are happening that are positive. The American people are not really very well informed about the benefits of freedom and the free market. Mm. And we keep putting people in groups and then labeling them and then trying to destroy them. So if you're a successful person or you're in the upper end or you'd be called wealthy, even though you're paying 70% plus of everything the government has to spend, you're a despised group. That makes absolutely no sense. Success and wealth and blessings is nobody's enemy unless you make an idol out of it and begin to worship it.
Yeah.
If you're covetous of it. And see, these are the things that are going on right now, Michael. We can just throw all the commandments of God out the window and think that we're going to have a meaningful life and that we're going to have security. We can't do it.
Nope.
So those of us who know the commandments of God are a blessing and a benefit, that when we move outside the shadow and shelter of the Almighty, we're in trouble, we're vulnerable, we're defeated. And we just need to understand that those standards are boundaries of protection and security and blessings in our life. And when we allow the education system, we allow the political system, we allow all of the professors and leaders and even ministers in many instances to just downgrade the importance of God's word, we're in trouble. But if we pray that people will hear the truth and see the truth and allow God to change their heart and their attitude toward one another, if we would just learn to love one another, what would happen if all the people we sent to Washington would decide to love God and love one another and love all the people they were chosen to serve and really try to find the solution to the problem? And God has made it clear that when people come into agreement, there's nothing they can't do. And if we're seeking God's will in agreement, we can deal with all the problems we face. All right, I see the stage set for that kind of an awakening, that arousing of the people to come back to sanity, to love and concern, love of truth, love of one another, a real legitimate love for God, and a patience and a deep concern and compassion for people who don't know the Lord, who are, as Jesus said, they don't even know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. The enemy has such a grip on so many people that they have become not only his children, as Jesus said, your father's the devil, but they have become captives held by his snare, which includes, according to Paul, even believers in the New Testament can be held captive by the enemy to do his will rather than God's will. So let's pray for those people to be released, and let's walk in such glorious light and liberty that we see the awakening our heart longs for, because everything is beginning to shift in a positive direction, and God is using people to do great things that we might never have imagined. You know, every day I watch this little Sarah Sanders, the little press secretary, realizing she was born while her daddy worked with me and traveled with me for 4 years. What a blessing Mike Huckabee was. What a blessing he is today. And there she is answering the most harsh critics in the world in such a wise and loving way. And she's continually sharing truth. And I can promise you, she shares it with everyone she's around in love. She is as powerful a witness as we will see anywhere in this country. Pray for that little press secretary. Pray for her family. Pray for our leaders. Michael, God is answering prayers, and the messages and truth you've been preaching, in my opinion, is bearing great fruit right now. And I thank you for sowing those seeds.
Yeah, thank you for the partnership, my brother. And friends, if you're looking for a place where you find out what's happening in the news, but it doesn't stop there. You get a believing perspective, a biblical perspective, biblical worldview application. Visit every single day, several times a day, stream.org, stream.org. Every one of my articles you'll find posted there, and other brilliant articles by John Zmirak and others, and videos and articles from James Robison and Tom Gilson and so many others. Great, great stuff. Here's what's going on. You see it with your eyes of the world. Here's a spiritual perspective on it. Stream.org. James, there's something I want to touch on that we've talked about before on the air, but not for some time. You've talked about the time being right for, say, a Supreme Court ruling that will overturn Roe v. Wade, because the hearts of so many Americans have been changed towards a pro-life position, that something like this could happen. Whereas we have a ways to go, say, changing the hearts and minds of people before we could have an effective reversal of something like same-sex, quote, marriage. So you believe in the importance of judicial appointees, but you're saying that it's never going to accomplish that much if you just change a law, change a ruling without changing hearts and minds first. That's what you're really saying here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you know, I'm the product of a rape. So today I would not have been born. The doctor my mother went to after being raped at age 40 was an abortion. Now, here's what people need to take from that lesson. And by the way, John Smirick posted a series of tweets from a person that had every reason to have an abortion and didn't. And now he's radical pro-life. You ought to go back and get that in the stream and go back in a little bit, a few days back, and find it. But I am a child, a baby that was conceived in a very difficult and hard circumstance. It was rape. And my 40-year-old woman conceived her first child. But look at my life. I had promise. I had potential. There were possibilities with a little baby that seemed like it should never have been conceived. And millions, and I'm not exaggerating, Dr. Brown, millions of people have come to Christ. I mean, there's no question more than 25 million people that we've got registered, made a public commitment to Christ and indicated it. And the millions of lives that have been saved with fresh water wells, and millions of lives saved by the feeding of the starving all over the world. This is 33 members of my family, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, their spouses, our children, all of them in love with Jesus, all of them a force factor for good and godliness. It's just beautiful. It's the possibility of God taking an unexpected, unplanned for, and many times even an unwanted child, and can do beautiful things with that child. So to God be the glory. If we will see the preciousness and value of life, we won't pay any attention to Roe versus Wade. We'll pay attention to the beauty of life and the possibilities that life brings. But when hearts are changed, the laws will change to reflect those hearts. And when hearts are changed, we will enforce good laws, because it's to the benefit of everyone who's not dedicated to evil. And that's just my message. Let's get our hearts right. Let's change our hearts about the beauty, the value, and the potential and promise of every life.
Yeah, amen. Friends, and that's the ultimate power of the gospel, one life at a time being impacted by the Lord. And James, we're going to try to get your son Randy on. I've normally been on the other side of the mic with him interviewing me when I'm down with you folks in Texas. We've just got about a few seconds before the break, but he's got a new book coming out. We're going to try to get him on to talk about it. But could you give us a heads up, or is there an article on the stream that talks about this?
I promise. He's got a brief today, a devotional, an inspiration about God's kingdom. It's the age of promise. Escape the shadows of the law to live in the light of Christ. This is kingdom life. We've been building churches and more tribes rather than building the kingdom. And it's in the kingdom atmosphere that the church grows and thrives. And God adding to the church daily as those shall be saved. And we continue in fellowship and breaking of bread from house to house.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Before I go to some other calls and take care of some other business, James, are you still there?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, yes, yeah, so sorry. We just ran out of time in the break there. But if you just wanted to finish what you were saying before you get on with your day about the Age of Promise, the title of Randy's book, you were just talking about this. We ran out of time before the break.
Yeah, let me say, and also your assistant notified me that my volume wasn't strong, and I'm having to do this on a different phone today, and I didn't realize that I needed to keep my voice up. I'm trying not to be over forceful or overbearing, you know, trying to be real polite. So I talked a little bit too soft. So let me just say this. The Age of Promise, in my opinion, is a miracle answer to prayer. We have not grasped appropriately what it means, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Lord teaching about the kingdom. and Paul closing his ministry, the last of Acts, teaching the kingdom. We have gone out to multiply ourselves too often rather than Christ. We have built churches rather than the church. We have not been pulled together rightly in a kingdom atmosphere with King Jesus in charge, not only of us, but giving us godly, wise oversight of everything on this planet that the Lord told us to oversee wisely and to be fruitful and multiply, and that's in the spiritual realm, and all areas of wisdom and blessing to everyone else. And we really, I think we've had our focus in the wrong place, and I think Randy has written a book, Dr. Brown. It's like a miracle. I told him, I said, son, it's like you just sat in the room with the Father and just tracked on everything that all the people I respect are hearing, that I'm hearing, and you put it down. He's brilliant. He's a great writer. But it just flows like a river to show us what kingdom life looks like. And I'm telling you, Michael, it's breathtaking. It's so exciting. The book will be in the stores the very last part of January. We'll be talking about it on our program. But I'll tell you, people, in my opinion, ought to go and pre-order it and get it and get in it. You could read it in a couple of days, and I think it'll change the rest of your life and impact the world. It's powerful. You will love it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading it, looking forward to having Randy on the air with me. All right, thank you so much, dear brother. Thanks for the encouragement you bring. I, for one, am glad that God brought you into this world. God bless you, man.
All right, thank you. I hope you heard me all right.
Loud and clear. Loud and clear.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to San Diego. No, we're not going to San Diego. I wanted a nice weather report. Yeah, somebody take a look and tell me what the weather is in San Diego. Where we were in Kansas City, it got down to like 3 degrees as the day I was leaving, and got into North Carolina, and it was maybe high 20s. So it was not exactly a heat spell here. And San Diego, 72 degrees. Oh, come on. 72 degrees, going down to a low of 64. Oh, no, 50. Going to a low of 54 before heading back up to early 70s. Yeah. Okay, well, that's low 70s. That's great. Enjoy it. Go ahead and enjoy it. Let's go over to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Scott, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Brother Brown, I'm getting an echo. Is that my fault?
I can hear you fine, so go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering if there was a ministry of building water tanks. I know they dig wells, but when the well goes dry, you're forced back to the river, I guess.
Yeah, I'm really not sure about that. And if you go to James Robinson's ministry, Life Today, they'll probably have more information on that. Now, all I know is this, sir, because we have missionaries all around the world, and some in very, very impoverished parts of the world where, for example, bringing in electricity is like a miracle, or digging a well is like a miracle, or having a place where little children can come and learn in the most primitive school conditions you can imagine. It's almost like a miracle. And we've got our folks on the front lines. These are folks we support. In fact, as you support us, just to let you know, to encourage all of you who give towards our ministry, and thank you. Thank you so much for your year-end help and support. Thank you to all of our torchbearers, our monthly supporters. When you give to us, the first fruits that we get, we give right back out to our workers around the world. These are grads from our ministry school. These are people who've been touched by our ministry, who are now part of Fire International, our international missions program. And they're out there doing it. They're out there doing it. They are making a difference. Some are involved in saving people from human trafficking. And it's a rough, rough, rough ministry to be in, and there's a lot of opposition, but they're making an incredible difference in lives. Others are feeding the poor. Others are taking in orphans. All of them, one way or another, sharing the message of Jesus, some planting churches in new areas. Just doing amazing, amazing stuff all around the world, literally. It's a joy to be part of this. And I'm overwhelmingly gratified that the Lord allowed us to found this ministry that is doing this around the world. And, you know, but the people on the front lines, and the folks with technical savvy, they are really, really creative. Okay, here's a way we can get light without electricity. Here's a way we can get, here's a way we can change the water that you have and just, you know, go put it through this and it comes out as drinkable. And so wherever there's a way to do things, and James Robinson's people are totally on the front lines of this, they figure out a way to do it. So, you know, if there's water containers, okay, well, if you've got a village of, you know, 800 people, where do you get the water from for the water containers, and how many do you have to deliver? So obviously you're looking for something self-sustaining, whatever it can be done. But while we are here in America, in for the most part, massive prosperity compared to other parts of the world and world history, even the fact that so many of us have cars to drive, even the fact that so many of us have heat in our home or air conditioners, the fact that so many of us have cell phones, we have the ability to communicate the way we do, the fact that so few die of starvation in America compared to times past in history and the rest of the world, we live in relative wealth. I know some of you are struggling. I know some of you are going through hard times and you can't even figure out how to put two cents together to pay a bill. I understand that. But for the most part, comparatively, we live in relative wealth and prosperity while some of the world is still dying in the most horrific ways. Now, please hear me. I don't say that to lay a guilt trip on anyone. I say it to say, let's be prayerful. Let's be as generous as we can be. Let's participate in helping those who are in need. All right, friends, I want to give something away to every one of you. Here's how you get it. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. I want to give you a free mini book called Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah. Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah. It's yours free. Just give us your email address. All right. That's all you need. And that's how you get the free ebook. All right. Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah. So sign up to get our e-blasts. And when you do, you will get that book absolutely free. It is a real eye-opener. I excerpted it from my book, The Real Kosher Jesus. So if you want the full exposition of these, you can get that book, The Real Kosher Jesus. But you'll get the heart of it. These are insights, things that God gave me, some of them after decades of study and meditation on Scripture and studying ancient Jewish literature. These are insights that I really believe the Lord gave me. Other scholars have seen some of these things. Other believers have seen some. We put some of this together in new ways. And then we excerpted it and packaged it in a way that it's first and foremost to give to a Jewish seeker. But I know so many believers are fascinated by this. So Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah, it's my thank you gift when you simply say, okay, I'd like to get your emails. So go to the website, askdrbrown.org, and do that. Tomorrow we celebrate the one-year anniversary of breaking the stronghold of food. And as you start the new year, I gave a word of encouragement yesterday. But as we start the new year, let me reiterate this. I'm hearing constantly from people now on our Facebook page, we're breaking the stronghold of food. I was doing so well, and then I got discouraged and I ate this. Or I thought I could just, you know, pig out a little with this and it would be okay for the holidays, and now I'm back off track. Look, you might be the kind of person that every so often you can indulge. You know, go out for a special night out and have a big meal and have ice cream, and you go back to your normal disciplined lifestyle. Or, you know, at the holidays, you eat your favorite meal like once a year, or Thanksgiving or special holidays twice a year, and then you're disciplined in your diet. Once every few weeks, you have a candy bar or something, and you're fine. And then you go back to eating your fruits and your vegetables, and not like me, you know, addicted to candy bars and addicted to chocolate for most of my life. If that's you, awesome. And you're healthy and vibrant and taking good care of your body, great. I'm not telling you how to live. What I am saying is that most of us are not like that. And most of the people we hear from are not like that. And what happens is they indulge one time, two times, and next thing they're falling back. And some of them fall back and they can't get back to where they were. So my advice, just the way a former alcoholic avoids alcohol, even one little sip because they know that could open the door for them to go back, If a food is a negative food for you, a destructive food for you, a food that is a stronghold in your life, you were once addicted to, or you would overindulge because of it, or you know sets you on an unhealthy pattern, just say, okay, I can't have that. It's off limits to me. And as I've lived like that for 3.5 years now, it's not hard, because the healthy food ends up tasting good, and you're so vibrant and doing so well. Why play games with it? Check out our Facebook page. We're breaking the stronghold of food. Let's do it together. Back with you tomorrow.